Kia ora tātou te whānau, ko Trent Memory tokuunga, ko Urawao Kaparangi te waka, Hananui te maunga, Ihi te awa, Ngai Tahu te iwi, Ngai te atafui e te hapu. Kia ora tātou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa. So good, man. So good to be here, right now, in this place, in this church. Wake up, people. It's time to wake up. Tauranga. The whole world's going to hear about this place. I believe with all my heart, praying this morning, praying this afternoon, there's going to be a move of God here. And these people need to come to a place. But are you ready to look after them, man? Only you can answer that. Alan, Eleanor, love you too. Love you even more now that you're part of C3. Yeah! Yeah! Whoop, there it is. You know, I don't say this lightly. I'm not here to suck up or whatever, you know. I don't really care if I do this whole journey on my own, you know. I've got God and Holy Spirit, so it's all good. But I really feel, bro, that we're going to do this journey together and do life together, and I think I found a real friend, you know. Very rarely have I found someone that I can just be me and they don't freak out. You're just like, yeah, bro, yeah, do that. I'm like, yeah. But I really feel connection, Alan, and I just honor you for, you know, accepting me and just telling me to be me. And both of you, you know, I say to them, what do you want me to do? They're like, do you? Yeah, like any sort of things. Bring it. And, you know, Mike Connell gave me a prophetic word, and I'm very selective on where I go, because Mike said, only be very selective where you go with people that will receive your gift and receive you and be you. And you guys allow me to do that. And I'm so thankful for you both. Thank you for inviting me back here. I sort of want to be home, to be honest, because, like, as you'll hear, like, great things are happening in Whangarei. But I knew I needed to be here. It's a bit of a fight for me to be here, but I'm here. Love you guys. Can we give it up for your senior pastors? They are amazing. They are amazing. Yeah. You should be standing to your feet. Yeah. Speak highly of your pastors. You know, I've just come to the realization that what we do, and as leaders and pastors, we're going to do this journey with daggers in our back. And most of the time, it's from the people that we look after. Don't speak a word about your pastors. They pray for you. They've laid down their lives for you. And they love you, man. They really love all of you. They don't like some of you. But love and like, you know, like, it's two different things. They love all of you, they just don't like some of the stuff that you do. But they are amazing people, and speak highly of them. I feel that there's people here that have got issues with the church. And, you know, you can't do this walk with God if you don't love His church. You know, like, you know, people, I sit with people and they're like, man, I love Jesus, man. I said, you know, cool, bro, what church you go to? I don't do church, bro. I just love Jesus. Well, it doesn't sit right with me, bro. They're like, oh, no, man, it's got all these issues and it's got all this stuff, and, you know, I don't like it. And I said, yeah. I mean, Jesus calls His church the bride. This beautiful bride. And it says that Jesus is the head of the church. So He's the head of the bride. I don't know if you've been to a wedding lately, if you've ever gone to a wedding and you've walked up to the bride. I'm telling you, you don't walk up to a bride on her wedding day and say, your head looks amazing, but your body's got some issues. If you have done that, you need a slap. But you wouldn't do that. Jesus came to die for us. And He loves His church. And if you've got issues with the church, man, You need to get on this altar here tonight and say, God, forgive me. Because until we get it right, how can we get it right out there? We need to get it right in here before we go out there. And I believe at the end of this meeting, you need to be really bold. Because I believe God is going to give you a fresh revelation. He's going to set you free of the stuff that you're carrying, man. Seeing amazing things in Whangarei. I just want to honor you, all of you, and thank you so much. Because when I was down here last November, we had just moved to Whangarei to plant a church. And we had no idea what was going to happen and what was, you know, who we're going with or whatever. And God has been amazing. We started the church at the end of January. And we have just seen, like, phenomenal things. We are reaching Māori people. Our church is probably about 75% Māori, which is a good thing because Northland is predominantly Māori. But our church has probably grown to about 225 people in 9 months. We've seen over 80 first-time decisions. I'm not talking about recommitments. I'm talking about first-time decisions. And I'm talking about not just ordinary people. I've seen three Mangukaha Black Power patch members and two mongrel mob members come to know the Lord. Three of them we've taken off their patches and handed them, and now they're living a life of freedom. We are seeing people healed nearly every single week. We are seeing young people. Last week just alone, we had 18 first-time decisions, and most of these people on the ages 18 to 21. God is moving in Whangarei, and we are seeing people healed. And I believe God is wanting to do something new inside the body of Christ. And I feel God is telling me to change things up and be bold and step out in faith and try not to do the norm of what church structure looks like. And when you do that, you know, it can be a little bit inconvenient for the church when you start just changing things on people. You know, like one, I was telling someone this morning, maybe in Tauranga, you know, people come into church and they tell you that, man, I didn't really do the worship today. Didn't really feel it. I mean, when was worship about you? It's like, what the heck? Yeah, last week was awesome, but, you know, the song this week, didn't really feel it. You know what I did the next week? Like, we got a rocking band, man. We got a band called Sons of Zion. I don't know if you guys know that, but the leader of Sons of Zion is now my worship director. And his family is just like, it's like gangster music, man. I don't know if I can say gangster in church, but I did. That's all right. And so that Monday, I just called old Koro Wee, who's about 71 years old, amazing Māori man, beautiful acoustic guitar player. I said, bro, you're doing worship this week. He goes, you know, kia ora, pastor. I'm on the roster, so yeah, I'm good. I said, no, you're just doing worship. And he goes, yeah, cool. Didn't tell the whole church, told the team they're having a break this weekend, didn't tell them why. And then everyone turned up to church and there's just koro matua. Okay, kia ora, we're going to get into some praise. You know, the people like, you know, looking at the bro, the bass player, the drummer, they're like, bro, you should be up. 20 minutes in, man, half the church on their floor. You know, there's nothing wrong with doing things inconvenient. Do you know that every single miracle that Jesus performed was inconvenient? Yeah. Jesus was on his way to go somewhere, to go and have a feed somewhere, to go to KFC or something. And then some bro was like, bro, my bro's dead. Would you come and raise him from the dead? Yeah, sure. Jesus was never on his way to perform that miracle. I'll tell you, one Sunday, I was doing a meeting just like this, and I felt the Lord say, just before I got up to preach, don't do worship before you preach. Once you go back into praise, the people need to understand that I habit myself in the praises of people. So I got up and I said to the worship leader, I said, bro, we're going back to praise. Is that okay? I said, whatever you need, bro. I said, yep. So I got up to church. This is inconvenient for the worship band because they have learned this awesome new worship song, but it's not about them and it's not about you. God told me to go back to praise, and we're going to praise. So we praise. It was amazing. I started sharing, like I'm sharing right now, about inconvenient faith. I said, oh, let me just tell you about what happened. It's inconvenient. And God actually is attracted to the inconvenience. Inconvenient faith. So I'm telling the church about this.
like this right now. And at the back of the meeting, the door's flying open and a lady starts running down the aisle with her two-year-old son in her arms, screaming, my baby boy's dead. My baby boy's not breathing. And she runs up the aisle while I'm standing by the pulpit and stands there and runs up with this two-year-old boy and puts him in my arms and says, my baby's dead. And I'm holding this two-year-old boy in my arms, gray, lifeless, eyes open. And I've got this baby in my arms. And I go, Jesus, Spirit of life, you are, come. And I click my fingers over this boy's eyes. His eyes not blinking, gray, lifeless. And I turn to the church. This is inconvenient, church. You need to pray. I don't think I've ever heard a church meeting roar so loud in all my life. And we prayed. I'm holding the son, man, and I'm watching her mother stand. My baby's dead. Lord, come, man, please. I've laid this baby on the stage. Just like here, laid it on the stage. For some reason, I just said, is there a doctor in the house? The local doctor was visiting our church for the very first time. That was convenient. I lay him down. I said, you need to check his pulse. She's checking his pulse. He's not breathing. He's dead. I said, Father, your word says in Romans 6 that the same power that raised Christ from the dead is at work within me. And I say, breathe. This two-year-old boy. Church, he's breathing. Yeah. Church, he's breathing. Mama. And just like this, the church is roaring. And then I stand here, I'm like, God, what do I do? This is awkward. You know, like, a dead baby. Everyone's like, pray. It's like, what do? Do I shut the meeting down? Do I just stop? Had the music guy just put some music on just to try and, you know, create atmosphere. I don't even know what is that. Do something, bro. And I stood up and I was just about to say, church, we'll just leave it there tonight. I said, who am I? Who am I to stop? So I just went for it. I said, church, why are we surprised that this is happening? We should be surprised when this is not happening. Why aren't people bringing dead people to our church meetings? Why are people running, taking people that have got cancer straight to the hospital when we've got the greatest doctor on earth? We have the healer. We have the same God that raised Jesus from the dead at work within me. And here we are playing church games, not liking our worship song. I'm so glad, man. End of that meeting, 12 people. I give an altar call. You're getting saved that night. You're definitely getting saved that night. A whole bunch of people here, standing. And there's a bro at the end, full-face muckle, with a bulldog tattooed on his face. So I know that tattoo, that's Mongrel Mop. Then I find out at the end of the meeting, on the other end of the altar, Mangukaha Black Power Patch member. On the same altar. That's a cool story, eh, bro? Baby raised from the dead. Black Power member, Mongrel Mob member, saved on the same altar. I mean, what story you got, man? The following week, Black Power member, Mongrel Mob member, standing at the back of the auditorium, honging each other, praying for one another. Come on, he deserves more praise than that. Do you understand the power that you have? Do you understand the authority that you have in your voice? Let me just tell you, before we go and take ground, you know, before you actually can take ground in the natural, you can actually take ground in the supernatural. You can actually speak to a situation that has not actually happened and actually take it out or take care of it or take a hold of it before it's actually happened. You got to understand that actually the most powerful thing that you have is your voice. The most powerful thing that you have is your voice. The Bible says our words are life and death. People that are speaking death over the pastors of this house speak life. I held this baby in my arms, and the only thing I could do was pray. But the most powerful thing I could have done was pray. And let me just tell you, let me just explain a little bit and unpackage about the power of our voice. But understand, the devil also knows the power of our voice. Do you actually know that the devil doesn't care about how much money you have? He doesn't care about your relationship. He doesn't care about that your family's falling apart. He doesn't care about that your business is falling apart. The devil is trying to bring all of hell and all of its demons and everything that it has into your world to do one thing. To say one thing. To say that Jesus is not Lord anymore of my life. Because once we do that, he wins. He doesn't win when all this other stuff is falling apart. All he's trying to get you to do is to say one thing so he can populate his place of eternity. Because when we do that, he wins. Think about it, Job, man. It's a crazy illustration in the Bible. Job 1, the devil walks into the throne room of God. What? Just picture it right now. I don't know about you. When I read the Bible, I picture the Bible. Here's the angels worshiping. Someone's on the place. Joe's on the keys. Got the DJ there. Angels. And the Bible says the devil walks into the throne room. You know, like this, like. The devil walks in. I don't know about you, but I just look at that illustration straight away and just go, it doesn't matter where God is. It doesn't matter how amazing God is moving in your church and in your world. The devil can just turn up whenever he wants. And then God says to Job, you can take everything. Take his kid, take everything. Take everything. He goes and takes everything. Takes his kids, takes his resources. Takes everything, man. Watches 10 kids die. That's a bad day, man. Then his wife leads him. And his four best mates kick him in the nuts and leave him as well. I don't know if I can say nuts in church. I just did anyway. He goes back for more. Because you think that would be enough for the devil? Nah, it's not. He goes back because he's wanting one thing. He's wanting Job to do one thing. And the God knows what's up, people. God says to them, take everything, but don't take one thing. Don't take his breath. His praise. Job 1:21. I mean, it's just the illustration of John 4:23. The true worshippers worship in spirit and truth, because they are the ones that the Father seeks. That's what the Bible says. And there's Job. If anyone had an issue about worshiping on that day, it was Job. Not really feeling it today, Lord. The bros, the misses, the kids, the resources. But he stood in a spirit of faith, saying to himself, Lord, I don't really get what's going on. but you've done it before and you've done it, you'll do it again. And a spirit of truth, even though I can't really see you or feel you, I still look out into creation. I lift my eyes to heaven and I know where my help comes from. And Job 1:21 says that Job stood. He said, God, you're my Lord. You give and take it away. But blessed be the Lord who gives and takes away. And what happened? God gave him back everything double. Well, that's a good day. He will do everything to rob you of your praise, of the power that you have. You've got to understand, when you speak, things shift. You may not see it move, but let me tell you, it moves, man. I'm telling you. When God said, let there be light, who was he talking to? You can answer the question. Who was he talking to? He was talking to no one, man, because none of us were created. So newsflash, revelation right now. The first purpose of communication was not for relationship, but was for creation. The first purpose of communication was not for relationship, but was actually for creation. Because when he speaks, things shift. Guess what? When you speak, things shift. It's actually very simple. When we speak to things, they shift. When dead things are dead and you speak life, they come back to life. And I'm not talking about babies. I'm talking about marriages. I'm talking about family. I'm talking about ones that have departed. Come on, man, I'm preaching tonight. All through the Bible, Jesus, this is not even my message. All through the Bible, Jesus was saying, all you got to do is speak. I love the story, man, of Peter walking on water. By the way, if you're going through a storm right now, every storm doesn't mean it's from the devil. Peter's in the boat with all the disciples. But let's just back it up a little bit. That was really bad. Jesus is standing on the beach with his disciples and he told them to get into the boat. Jesus, being God, is the only person that knows our future. Jesus knew they were going to hit a storm. Every storm is not from the devil. God allows us to go through things so we can rely on him and actually help us grow in our faith and our knowledge of who he really is. But if we actually back it up, you know, we read that Peter stepped out of the boat, he's walking on water, and we all know the story that he began to drown because he kept his eyes off Jesus and he looked to the storm, and Jesus grabbed him and said, oh, Peter, you of little faith. Do you know, actually, Jesus actually gave him the answer to the problem he was in chapters earlier. Same situation. Disciples are in the boat, but Jesus is in there having a kip, having an afternoon nana nap. You're not a nana. Storm comes up around them. They're like, whoa! What are we going to do? Jesus, wake up. Stop. Do something. Jesus stands up. What does Jesus do? He speaks to the storm. Do you know what I think went through Jesus' mind? When Peter steps out of the boat, here's Peter. Woo! Woo-hoo! Looking at the boys in the boat. Turns around. I shouldn't be doing that stuff, eh? Anyway. He turns around. I'm coming, Jesus. Storm. Waves. Do you know what went through Jesus' mind in that moment? Peter, remember, a couple of chapters earlier, what did I do? Peter. Jesus says, speak to the mountain and it will
move.
Oh, we're like, yeah, that's a cool scripture. Has it really happened?
Wrong.
Google it tonight. 10th century Egypt. A man named Simon the Tanner. Simon the Saint, the shoemaker. 10th century. Is there. He's a religious man. He's there with three other religious leaders, and he's standing and sitting with the emperor ruler of the time, the Egypt ruler of the time. And they're trying to show him and explain to him who their God is. They get to the scripture. True story. Google it. They get to the scripture. The Egyptian ruler says, it says here that if we speak to the mountain, it will move. He's like, yeah. He goes, do you believe that? Is that your God? And he said, yes, it is. This is what he said. He said, you have 3 days to move that mountain. If you don't, you and every single one of your believers dies. That's a bad day. So he grabs his two main disciples, grabs them and said, boys, we're going over to pray to that mountain for the next 3 days. Why? Because we're going to die if we don't. Documents say that on the last day they're praying at sunrise, and they're praying, and all of a sudden the sunrise hits their eyes, but they're standing in front of the mountain. They open their eyes and the mountain is levitating because the sunrise is going between the mountain and the ground. Look it up. You can go to the mountain now. They've built a church on it. Amazing place. Here's the clincher. The mountain just didn't levitate. The mountain moved 30 kilometers. Geographically, look it up tonight. It's awesome. None of the Christians died that day. Hallelujah. When we speak, things move. I've come to realize, guys. You know what I've come to realize? I mean, I've had a go at walking on water 3 times. No, I have, asked my wife. I haven't yet speak to a mountain, but I'm going to go give it a go someday. But what I've come to realize is sometimes your situations may not move straight away, but it will move. It will move. Man, I'm preaching tonight. There is a game called Jenga. Who knows it? Who knows Jenga? Who thinks they're the man at Jenga? Give me a wave. I've come to realize that situations that we face are like the game Jenga. It's like a tower in front of us, these mountains, these giants. But I've realized that I know when I pray and I speak to things, they will move. And it's just like Jenga. They may not move straight away, but as I pray and I speak, piece by piece by piece, it gets weaker, and it gets weaker. And that mountain, that tower, will fall in Jesus' name. The most powerful thing that you have is your voice. And the church's voice is silent. We need our voice back. We're supposed to be the head, not the tail. I go to most communities, man, and I don't feel the church. I don't see the church. I see a lot of the world. The world dictating our society, man. It ends tonight in Tauranga, though. The most powerful thing you have is your voice. And I want you to come out of this conference. Begin not to take ground in the natural. But here, even just tonight, we're going to take ground in the supernatural. We're going to speak to our relatives that we've stopped praying for. We're going to speak to our businesses that we thought had finished. We're going to speak to our communities and say, God, the spirit of death, the spirit of suicide in our young people, it ends tonight. Because we have the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Do you believe it tonight? Stand to your feet if you believe it tonight. Lift your hands tonight and say, God, I have the same power. God, I have say it out loud. God, I have the same power. God, I have the same power. I have the same power that raised you from the dead. Every single one of us. I'm no one special, man. I haven't done Bible college. I haven't done any teach. I've got no qualification to my name. I was a professional drug dealer. If you don't know my story, I was a meth addict for 7 years, a drug addict for 14 years. I got kidnapped by gang members for 2 days in a hotel room. I should be dead. Beaten to an absolute pulp, stripped naked. Didn't sexually abuse me, but they stripped me of my manhood. Nothing in the world was going to get me out of that situation. But I don't know about you, if you've ever been in a situation where you thought you were going to die. But out of deep desperation, the only thing that I could call upon and use was my God. And in the bathroom of this hotel room, black and blue, beaten to a pulp, I looked into the mirror of this bathroom in this hotel room and I said these words, God, I don't know you, but I don't want to die. I want to die. I want to live. I want to see my baby again. I want to see my newborn back at my house. And I said, God, if you help me, I promise you I'll help you. I used my own voice. And God set me free from that moment. And it would have been really good for me to stop doing what I was doing. Stop drug dealing. Stop affiliating with one of New Zealand's most notorious motorcycle clubs. Would have been good for me just to stop doing what I'm doing, come to church, and just be someone that sits in the church pews. That would have still been good for society. But that's not why God set me free. And that's not why God set you free. He didn't have an encounter just so that we can start going back to life. To society and start into survival mode. No. God set you free so you could carry this power that has changed our world before and changed cities and societies, to use it to for good, to bring change into our lives, to bring change into other people's lives. I've had an encounter just like you, but have you made your encounter count? And it's not about doing Bible college, even though C3 College is really, really good, by the way, and you should do it. God doesn't call the qualified, He qualifies the call. If you have the Spirit of God in you and you've given your heart to Jesus, you are called. The power is not in the I can. The power is in the I can, not in the IQ, people. Stop thinking about it and overthinking about it and start using your voice. And start speaking to your world. And if you're here today and you're like, who the heck are you? Who the heck is this freaky, crazy white dude? Who the heck is he talking about? I thought Jesus was this guy that was like, you know, in a shepherd, and, you know, like in a little manger and had long hair. Might have been like that. But this dude was like the radical dude I've ever known. I've hung out with some radical dudes, man. But this dude's the most radical dude. I've never read about a king that died on a cross for love. And if you don't know Jesus tonight, guess what? It's your lucky day. Do you know, I was saying to the youth today, I said it to a girl today. Do you know how awesome God is? You know, when 12 and a half years ago, when I was in the hotel room, Pastor Allen, broken, man, in the pit, and I called out to a God that I did not know. Do you know what went through God's mind when I called out to God in that moment? just for a split second. Do you know what went through his mind? I can't wait. In 12 and a half years' time, when Trent goes down to Tauranga, speaks in City Church, shares about the power of speaking into things, and shares a little bit of his story, and people understand who I am. I can't wait. That's how awesome it is. I've come to realize that these church meetings, it's just like a birthday party. Just every week we're just here, one big birthday party. And some of you today, it's your birthday. See how excited they all are? Because they're here to celebrate your birthday. You're about to receive the greatest gift that you've ever received. It may be healing. It may be breakthrough. But the greatest gift, man, is receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And do you know what? I don't understand why some people don't get healed. I don't understand why things don't happen in our time. But I always know that Jesus always wins. He always wins. You've got cancer, guess what? You're going to get healed. Here or there. Because trust me, man, I've seen Parkinson's disease, 15 years in a man's body, shaken, and in just a moment, healed. That day was his birthday. And then 1 week later, I mean, I had all the faith in the world that day. I had a six-year-old boy in his home, with his mom and his grandparents in the room. His body was filled with leukemia. 1 week earlier, I prayed with a man with Parkinson's disease. Man, I was full of faith. It's over for leukemia that day. I prayed. I led his grandparents to the Lord. Led his mom to the Lord. 7 days later, that boy died. I don't get it. But do you know what? Jesus always wins. And today, for some of you, it's your birthday. Some of you, it's not. That's okay. But for all of us here, we're going to celebrate these persons. If you do not receive your gift of healing today, don't worry. Turn up next week because we're all going to be here and we're going to celebrate until you get your gift. Because we're just here to celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He's the greatest gift provider there is. And if you're here today and you've never given your hearts to Jesus, let me tell you, there is an urgency right now. I mean, man, if you can't get saved and you can't receive God today, I don't know when other time you're going to meet Him. But what I've realized that God's not into coincidences. He's not. He's thought about this day for thousands of years. It's not a coincidence that you're here. He's brought you here for this very moment to receive Him as your Lord and Savior. If you believe Him tonight, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart, that's the key here. You believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead. If you do those two things, the Bible says you will be saved. And there's people here, so I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end of this meeting right now to receive Him tonight. You don't need to go through what I went through to receive Him. And you don't need to change anything like Pastor Paul said on Friday night. You don't need to change anything to be accepted by Him. He accepts you as you are. Right where you are. You don't have to get all holy and all righteous and all of that stuff. Get your church clothes on. I don't think I got my church clothes on. He accepts you as you are. And here tonight, if you've maybe given your heart to Jesus before, but you're not burning for Him, man. You're not waking up every single day, opening your eyes, saying, God, you're awesome. Another day breathing. You've maybe let the world become number one. You know this question, man. Only you can answer this. Maybe you're not reading your word. Maybe you're not praying. You know, most people in this world, including Christians, the first thing they wake up and do is this. Let me just tell you, that's going to the world first before it's going to God.
If you're here today and you have not made your encounter count, you're not burning for Him. You're not taking ground, man. You're just standing still. You're in survival mode. Jesus didn't come so we could just survive. He came to give life and life to the full. And if you're not living for God, and only you can ask this question, are you right with Him tonight, man? If you were to leave this meeting and you would have an accident or someone crashed into you, could you stand in front of the Father? And could you answer this question? How did you go with my son that I gave you? Because that's the question He's going to ask you. Only you can answer that question right now. Are you right with Him? Before we pray, you close your eyes. If you're here today and you've never given your heart to Jesus, friend, this is your moment. Today's your birthday. And we're here to celebrate you. Not just us, but the Bible says that if one sinner turns away from their life, the whole of heaven rejoices. Party on earth, party in heaven. If you're here today and you've never given your heart to Jesus, I want to, in just a moment, I want to get you to lift your hand. I'm going to see your hand and we're going to say a prayer. God's going to come into your world. If you're here today and you've not made your encounter count, you're not burning for Jesus. He is not number one. You want to say, God, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I want to come out of this conference. I want to run for you. If that's you here today, I want you to respond. On the count of three. One, if you've never given your heart to Jesus and you want to do that, I see your hand already, man. Secondly, if you're not burning for Him, really? One, two, three. Lift your hands. Hands. One, two, three. Hands. Hands. Wow. Hands. Hands all over this place. Hands. Lift it nice and high. Thank you, hands. Thank you, thank you. Hands, who else is there? Thank you, sir, at the back. Who else is there? Who else is there? Say, yeah, Trent, tonight, I need to make him number one. Who else? Sip it up. 10 more seconds. Awesome, awesome. Who else? Say, Trent, yeah. Maybe 20 or so people. We're just going to say a prayer right now. Is that all right, Pastor? You want to bring... All those people with your hands lifted high. Would you just do one real cool thing? It says in the Bible, because like my time's up, probably was a while ago. Jesus, forgive me. People are hungry. I want people to leave here liking me. So we just want to make this real easy. Instead of me coming out to you to pray for every single one of you, can we make this really easier and you come and stand here and me pray for you here on this altar? Because the Bible says if you acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. If you lifted your hand, just come. Why don't you just run to say, God, here I am. Here I am. Come. Come. Stand on this altar and say, Jesus, here I am. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Come. Keep coming. There's many here. Yeah, come. Come. Who else? Come on. It's your birthday. We're celebrating with you. Come. Come. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. Come. Thank you, darling. What I'm going to do is I'm actually going to get Pastor Alan, the pastor of this house, to pray over you. And if you're here for the first time and you don't go to church, this is a really awesome church. You need to do this journey, not on your own, but with other people. It's the beauty of God, man. He gave His Son, He gave His Spirit, and He keeps giving. He gives us His church. He's going to say a prayer. I want you guys to do this all your heart. Say it like you mean it. God is going to come into your world. And then we're going to pray for some people to empower them to run with this thing. The same power that raised Christ from the dead. To empower you to go out and take ground back. Because what ground are we taking? We're taking back ground that the devil has taken. We need to go back and take it back for the kingdom, God. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's all pray. Just say this after me. Dear God, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you died on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me of all the wrong things I've done. Please come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Be the boss of my life. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just pray for these guys. There's somebody standing behind you. They're just going to put their hands on your shoulder and we're all going to pray. Father, I pray for each one right here that's made that commitment. Father, we thank you. It's their birthday, Lord. Lord, I pray that they would know you. They would journey with you. They would know how much you love them, how much you care for them, how much you're with them. Lord, I pray you would reveal your call on their lives. You would reveal your destiny for their lives, that you would touch them. Lord, I pray they would have great people that would disciple them, that would walk with them in every way. Father, Lord, I pray you would plant them in the house that you have for them, Father. Lord, that they would know you. And Lord, that they wouldn't just be someone who knows about you. They'd be someone who begins to talk about you, that shares about you and becomes a discipler, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Fantastic.